Is it time to open the nation's emergency reserves to bring down gas prices?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Well, here in L.A., gas is around $4 a gallon. The national average is now above $3.50. That's 40 cents higher than a month ago. Yesterday, White House Chief of Staff William Daley told Meet the Press that President Obama is considering tapping into the nation's emergency petroleum reserves. Marketplace's Gregory Warner joins us live now with more on this story. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, would opening up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, as it's called, cut gas prices?
Basically not. I mean, the reserve basically exists to make up for disruption in supply. And even with the Libya situation, there hasn't been that disruption yet. So I called Barbara Shook. She's Houston Bureau Chief of the Energy Intelligence Group. She said, you tap into the reserve now, you're not going to see lower prices at the pump.
A move like this would be more symbolic than substantive because we really don't suffer from a lack of supply in the world. It's more a matter of risk, more a concern that we might have a cutoff.
So basically, tapping into these emergency reserves would not bring down prices for consumers. So what's the point, Greg?
Well, this may be more about building people's confidence, and confidence is key at this point in the recovery.
Right.
I mean, look, unemployment creeped below 9% on Friday, and hiring is up. But if gas prices climb higher, the cost of business goes up, the cost of going on vacation, the cost of shopping increases. And so if tapping into the reserve is a symbolic gesture now, there's a sense that that's a symbolism that some of us need to hear.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner in Philadelphia. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, we like to buy a lot of our oil from the Middle East. And you know what they like to buy from us? Weapons. By late last year, Persian Gulf nations had ordered more than $120 billion worth. But now, some pending weapons deals are drying up, as our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports.
Last month, Iraq postponed a deal to buy $1 billion worth of F-16 fighters. And the United Arab Emirates is rethinking a $7 billion U.S. missile defense system. The Lexington Institute's Dan Garay says these countries have other things on their mind.
What they're more concerned about right now is instability, and therefore they're looking for ready sources of cash to now go and either give to the population in the form of bribes or lower food prices, whatever it's going to take to keep stability.
Both countries say their U.S. deals are still pending, but will they be back?
There's a very real chance, we think, that current events could lead Middle Eastern buyers to align themselves more closely with Russia and China.
Guy Anderson is with IHS Jane's. He says the Middle East wants to loosen ties with the West. Plus, U.S. contractors sometimes link weapon sales to human rights records, whereas Russia and China don't ask questions. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across the globe this morning. London up about 0.5%. Tokyo down almost 2%. LVMH, the maker of brands like Louis Vuitton, Hennessy, and Veuve Clicquot, is buying some more bling. There's news this morning of a $5 billion takeover of the Italian watch and jewelry maker Bulgari. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 88 points to close at 12,169.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
Today, one of the first cities to file for bankruptcy after the financial crisis in 2008 is trying to get out of bankruptcy. A judge is set to rule on an exit plan for the Northern California city of Vallejo. Kelly Weiss has more.
There's a sign outside of Vallejo's old fire station headquarters. Closed. In case of emergency, call 911. But Vallejo Fire Chief Doug Robertson says 911 isn't a sure bet anymore. There used to be four dispatchers to answer the phones. Now there are two.
It's serious business when somebody's breaking into your home or your house is on fire and you call and no one picks up the phone. We get those complaints and they're legitimate.
The city shut down three of its eight fire stations after filing for bankruptcy in 2008. On a Monday night, Robertson's car bumps along roads full of potholes. The city has put street maintenance on hold, and the police department has lost more than 30% of its officers. Robertson grew up in this town and says residents are more emotionally and financially strained than before.
Well, economically, it is as bad as I've ever seen it.
The city has a plan to get services restored. It hinges on paying creditors what it can, and those creditors are mostly city employees. Some could end up getting 5 cents on the dollar for retiree health benefits and back pay. The next step is to jumpstart the economy. Michael Cohen hopes to attract private businesses. He's the board chairman of Vallejo's Chamber of Commerce. He says a faster permitting process and deferral of some startup costs could help do that.
Something to give them an incentive to say, you know, hey, Vallejo's offering this. Vallejo wants us here. They're really willing to work with us. Let's go here. Let's go to Vallejo.
Cohen says landing big box stores would create jobs and draw traffic from the highway running into the San Francisco Bay Area. That could entice a large retailer, despite the city's debt problems.
Nobody builds a store, you know, based on the past. They're basing it on the futures.
That's Malachi Kavanaugh with the International Council on Shopping Centers. Kavanaugh says local consumers are starting to spend more, and retailers are looking to expand again after the recession. In the meantime, city leaders say Vallejo still has to get out of bankruptcy and restore confidence in public safety. From Vallejo, California, I'm Kelly Weiss for Marketplace.
And finally, thought the airlines came up with all the fees they possibly could? Nope. The industry is now making about 5% of its revenue from fees, and here is a new one. According to the Wall Street Journal, a fee for insurance in case of a blizzard. And another, Delta will become the latest airline to let passengers pay for seats that recline more, though it will still be your responsibility to clear that deep recline with the person sitting behind you. You can get our Midday Update podcast at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The protests in Cairo were about rights for everyone, but one particular group was there in force, and they are making sure they're not forgotten.
This is a potentially a battleground as women seek to claim their part of this revolution and to prevent any backsliding.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Egyptian women and economic equality, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.